Welcome back. We're going to continue on with some questions. We have a question?
Yes, welcome to the next session. Yeah. We will talk about storage and disks mm-hmm. in this session, but we noticed on the live chat that there were a few questions that many people asked, so I want to address two of those.
Okay, perfect.
One question, if I read it correctly, was related to fault domains and whether fault domains and regions or different data centers are related somehow. Mm-hmm. And that's a good question, and I would think they are not related, and that you have to think about fault domains as the smallest unit that can fail. So a rack would be an example of that. So okay. A cloud service covers that. If you think about larger things that can fail, for example, I don't know, an earthquake would wipe out an entire data center. Then, of course, you're getting to the point that you want to have both the data and maybe copies of the virtual machine somewhere else. So that's right. Then a different mechanism, but that's not the fault domain mechanism. But that could be a concern, of course, using multiple regions for that purpose.
And we talked a little bit about that, like where if you had things in different regions,
yes,
it might make
it more
accessible. Yeah.
And actually, what's very nice to add to this as well, that if you try to create a virtual machine, let's say we're here in the United States, in Seattle, mm-hmm. if we create a virtual machine in Asia and connect to it, it's actually a very fast connection. The networking is so fast that it's totally doable to have the virtual machine not be in the closest Windows Azure data center. I thought it was very interesting to
see. That's the trip. Wow.
I always explain it by saying that the Azure data centers do the networking so well and are so close to the backbone of the internet.
That would make a lot of sense, right?
That they just don't have a lot of latency, so that's actually really good.
Right, right.
And the second question from the previous session was related to the public IP address. And the question was, if you deallocate the virtual machines, mm-hmm. then those virtual machines do not take up any resources except disk. And they lose the private IP address.
They do, yeah.
Will the public IP address stay? And the answer is yes.
Kind of. The answer is kind of.
Kind of.
Because if you have no resources mm-hmm. in your cloud service, you don't get to keep your public IP address forever. There's nothing in there. They actually will eventually remove that public IP address.
Okay.
So you can't count on that to be there. You need to think about it when you deallocate the virtual machine. If you've got still like two virtual machines in the cloud service, you'll still have that public IP address because it's in use. If you deallocate the second or the last virtual machine or whatever's in there, it's gone. Nothing is using that public IP address. You don't really then have rights to use the public IP address at all later. So
yes,
you
yes.
might really want to think about not doing that if you're very attached to your public IP address, although it's just really maybe changing your DNS server or something,
just
you know.
Just be a name, right? The DNS name you would update. And
exactly,
then, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world, but you might hard code something or do something in it within an application, and it might make sense to you to keep that, right?
But you can keep the name, like Coffee Boston.
You can keep
the name forever.
Oh, yeah, you can
right?
keep Coffee Boston, but you don't necessarily have the right to keep the public IP address.
Okay.
Yeah, so don't count on it. Yeah.
Something else, there was not a question, but now I'm reminded of that. You can also make your own name, right? If I make www.coffeeboston.com,
right.
I can just forward it or point the DNS entity to this
IP
address.
You absolutely can do that, and you can do some really cool things, which I will talk about in the networking stuff, using Traffic Manager to kind of put the traffic in different locations by changing some of those DNS pointers and play some games with it, which is really cool. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
good,
I'll hit that for sure. Yeah.
Well, good questions. Those were the two that I thought was worthwhile to point out. So let's switch to the presentation and go to the next module, which I make full screen, which is about storage and disks. We've actually used storage and disk already by creating the virtual machines, of course, but I just skipped over it so you couldn't see that it was happening. Let's look at it now. The two lessons we will address here is just talk about some concepts related to storage. I think there are a few simple things that are important to understand. And then I want to look in more detail at disks and VHD files. VSD files is of course a concept that's well known from Hyper-V as well. The same VSD files are used here, but disk is actually a different concept. So let's look at look at that. So we'll start with storage concepts.
So do I need to know anything about Hyper-V really to understand this, or will you kind of go through what these parts are? Because I'm not a Hyper-V person, and I want to understand what these VHDs are about.
I'm very sorry to hear that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
But no, it is more the opposite. If you happen to know Hyper-V, then it's nice that you recognize the similarities.
Okay.
And I will go into a few VHD aspects of Hyper-V and indicate how it's different with Azure.
Okay.
But if you don't know Hyper-V, then you might not realize it even. But that's certainly not needed.
But if I knew Hyper-V, I'm in a good place. And if I don't know Hyper-V, I can pick it up pretty easily for this concept.
Good. Indeed. Okay, so first of all, the first concept that's important to know is a storage account.
Yeah.
That is separate from a subscription or a normal account where you log on. A storage account is a separate item you make, and you kind of indicate where you want to store your information.
So what is information?
So you store your VHD file.
Oh, your VHD.
Your
okay.
VHD file.
Oh, I was just wondering, is it a file? Okay, got it.
Azure has lots of storage options. But in the context of virtual machines, we're only storing the VHD files.
In storage?
In the storage, yes.
Okay.
But your earlier example about Xbox Live, for example,
yeah.
I'm sure they have lots of information that they also store
somewhere
in Azure.
I hope they store my scores, because that's what I want them to store, yeah.
But it's not in the VHD file, so that will be different. Another interesting thing that's nice to introduce. They introduced it in DOS 1.2, I believe. But
seriously?
Now here they have containers.
Okay.
And a container is one level subdirectory. Not more, you just have a file structure with one level deep.
So you can't get super complicated or anything. It's just
correct.
And you can find it pretty easily then, because it's one level.
Very easy to, find.
Okay.
And then in a container, there are files, and the files are called blob.
Okay.
Blob is an abbreviation for this is just some random data, but then spelled out nicely in English.
Blob, and, of course.
You can call it a file. It's not needed to use the term blob there, but if you look at documentation about the Azure storage, they keep on referring to blob.
So if I see blob, then I know, blob is file.
Yes,
okay.
And in the context of virtual machines, it's even easier, because then it's always a VHD file even.
So
you don't even have to
do it there.
So you have this virtual machine, and it's pretty important, and it runs on a VHD file. And now you have this VHD file somewhere on the Azure storage.
Okay.
And what Azure does, what the storage system does, is every VHD file is triplicated, if that's a word, three times. So there are three copies of those
of the VHD
file. You're only using one copy.
Okay.
But in case something goes wrong with that one copy, you never know if something goes wrong, of course, in the storage, then the copy number two or copy number three can be used realizing it.
Oh, very cool.
So
yeah,
that's
like
actually
that.
Very, very yeah. good. So just to be on the...
Less to worry about. I like
less
that.
To worry about,
yeah.
indeed. But this is not something you can access. So if you make a change to the VHD file that you shouldn't have,
right.
you cannot go to copy two or three because they're updated already, right? So that's
so I can't use it as like I goofed and I want to go to copy two now because
yes.
I'm pretty sure that one's okay. I don't know.
No, that you still have to do backups and copies yourself if you want to use
it
for that purpose.
So I can't use it as my personal, okay, got it.
And if you delete a VHD file, you delete all three of them, of course.
Oh,
right?
Of course.
If nobody
right.
tells you this, you wouldn't even know that there are three copies of each VHD file.
No, but I'm glad you said that there were three copies, because it makes me feel better that, like, if something weird should go on, it's not just this one file out there. Like, they've got, they've got it covered. So
Indeed.
Yeah.
Interesting question is, do you pay for storage? Yes.
Yeah.
So do we now have to pay three times?
Do you?
Well, no, it's the most positive answer. So, no, you
Good.
Only pay one. So, really,
positive answer. Nice.
If nobody tells you this, then there's nothing you can You can nowhere see that this is actually happening, but it's interesting to know, of course.
So it's just for Azure to make sure that they're covering the basis for the SLA and that you've got what you need at all times.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Okay, that's and, part of the business of doing business.
Yes,
right?
Exactly. Another question that often comes up, of course, is okay, all good, three copies.
Yeah.
But now I have this super important VHD file, super important data or super important virtual machine. And now there is a major earthquake and the data center is affected.
Okay.
Then what? What you can do for each of the storage accounts, the top concept, right? The storage accounts that you create, not individual files, but the storage account, you can indicate that all your data should be copied to a nearby other Azure data center as well.
Really?
And
so now you have like six copies of
indeed,
your VHD.
Three and three.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. And but you cannot. Well, now you can access the other copy as well as a read-only copy. So you can actually verify that it's there, and maybe even want to test like your failover in case something happens.
Okay, yeah.
But there's only one writable, and that's the main one that you use.
So if I still screw up the main VHD that I'm working on, I have now five other messed up VHDs because I've messed it up.
Another way of saying it, this is a copy for Microsoft's purpose, not for the customer's purpose.
Yeah.
If something happens with the data center, then Microsoft has a copy and can restore everything.
Okay.
But if you do something with the data that ruins it, then the region copy somewhere else is also ruined.
That's also ruined.
So you still need to understand
that.
Backups and all that.
Okay.
Of course,
I'll make sure I don't use that as a backup for myself.
Correct.
Yeah.
But it's good to know that it exists like that.
Yeah.
And you can browse all this through the portal. So let's do that. Let me switch over. I went to the next slide, but I meant to go to the portal.
Okay. So we can find another coffee shop at your portal? Because you have, 13? So.
No, I'll use the existing existing ones.
Okay.
So if I go to storage, we haven't been there yet. We've been to virtual machines. We've been to settings and usage. And we've been to cloud services here. But now we go to storage. And here are five storage accounts that that I have. If I want to add more storage accounts, then I just can click on new and I'll just add a storage account.
Okay.
And then one of the things I specify, of course, is the location where in which of the 1, 2, 3, 6 locations I want to create this storage account. Or in other words,
Where should the data be stored? Okay, so it's a physical location that I'm specifying.
Yes, one of those six.
I want my files to be in a data center physically located here.
Yes,
okay.
Indeed. And also the copy in a different data center.
So
if you do
copy.
Local redundant, then it's only in the data center
in Western Europe. Okay.
And if you do geo-redundant, then it will be in Western Europe and probably Northern Europe as well as a copy.
But they choose the geo because it's for them. It's for Azure to use. It's not for you anyway. So
I believe it's the one that's nearby.
Okay.
I'm not sure about that. But
close, but not too close?
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah.
Indeed. So that's how you create a storage account. Let's not create a new one.
Okay.
If I look at the properties of a storage account, you can see that here I have configured this one. Let me refresh the display because it looks like this stays on the screen. What I wanted to show you that you can see that it's geo-located.
Right. You can actually see that in the dashboard that it is. It just says like geo-located or
something.
Yeah,
here it says, look, this. I'm in the FirstSoft storage account.
Okay.
And all the data is stored there.
It says geo-redundant.
Sorry, I'm going one step back. All the data is stored in the Western US data center, right? That's the location. And if you look at the configuration, it indicates that it's locally redundant. So I'm not making copies.
But the next one says geo-redundant.
Yeah, exactly. It would be at the other location. I'm not doing that actually for this one. And if I sign up for read-only access, if I do this and then sign up.
Oh, it's a preview for read access to your
Redundant. Yes, oh,
okay,
yes.
And that's the thing that you were talking about, where you can see it.
It used to be that you can say more easily it's only for preventing something terrible happening in a data center,
mm-hmm.
but now you can actually use it yourself for testing the failover process.
Oh, and
see
to
if
make
your
sure
application
it's doing
runs
what it's
there.
Doing.
Yeah.
Oh, very,
but it's
very
read-only
cool.
access.
So. Okay, yeah.
But it's still, the master is in.
So that just makes you feel better that you tested over here, it works, but you're not really doing anything with it. You're just making sure that you feel better about it.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly. So that's in the storage account.
Okay.
Here in the portal, you can also browse the structure. And the structure is very flat, like I indicated. So I'm in one storage account in the Western US.
Okay.
And here's my list of containers. I don't have a lot of containers, six or seven.
Okay.
But of course, I can easily add additional containers. Today's Thursday, so if I happen to have a container for...
What's the container do again?
Sorry, that's a subdirectory.
Oh, okay.
So that's only a subdirectory. So now I added, and you have one level of subdirectory.
And this is the one level that you were talking about.
The one
about.
Level, the
okay.
one and only level. So underneath this would immediately be the blobs.
Okay, which are just files.
I'm getting your lingo.
Okay, yeah.
But look here, you see the name blob also coming here.
Oh, right,
here.
Okay.
So that's where you see blob as well. And if I go to, for example, VHDs,
okay.
that is the default location. So the container VHDs is the default location where VHD files that were created for new virtual machines
are
placed.
From the ISOs, the kind of at the beginning? Or?
No, one step before that, when we selected the colorful Windows version,
yes.
then what happened was that a copy of that VHD file was copied into my storage account in the VHDs folder.
Oh, wow, okay.
So if I go there, I will actually see that. I see a list of VHDs, not so many. List of VHDs, and I'm sure this Coffee Boston thing that happens this
about
morning at 11:20,
yeah.
That was, it didn't happen at 11:20, it's last updated at 11:20.
Right, right.
But that is actually the file that was copied, and then those were the virtual machines that were created.
So those are VHD files?
Those are VHD files, yes.
Wow, okay.
Only VHD files.
I didn't know that existed there. That's... Yeah.
And later we will see how we can actually obtain those VHD files if we want to get them to Hyper-V, of course.
Oh, and this is the thing that you're talking about, going back and forth with the files.
Yes.
Okay, I'm getting it. See, I'm getting closer.
We're not doing that in this session, but in the session later.
But I just like that this is where they live.
Yes,
I can see them. Good.
So, very interesting is that every file, unlike, let's say, the file system on a local computer, every file, every blob, has a URL. So here you see the full URL to that blob. And you can actually copy that because you use the URL, for example, in PowerShell commands. If you want to do something with the files, then you use them in PowerShell commands. So I can copy this. Let's say this one from Coffee Paris. I'll copy allow access. Okay, so now I have the URL copied. Mm-hmm. And a good suggestion would be, what would happen if I now go to the browser and I do paste?
It's like you're reading my mind. I wanted to know what would happen.
That is the path to the, you can actually read what it says, right?
Yeah.
This is a storage account. This is always the same. Then it's the container VHDs, one level deep. And then this is the name of the VHD file, .vhd. If I now press enter, I pressed enter.
Yeah.
It says sorry, it doesn't happen.
You can't get to it, right? So you cannot access it via the regular interwebs. that way.
By default, you cannot access it this way,
okay.
And otherwise it would be kind of dangerous as well, right? Because if people see this screenshot, they would otherwise be able to download all of them, etc.
Yeah, don't do that.
Even though, you can try, but you cannot access them directly like that for now.
Okay.
We'll look at it in a little bit later when we talk about authentication, how you can
control who can
access it. But in all kinds of PowerShell commands, and if you do web-based management to REST APIs,
mm-hmm.
you would use these URLs. So that's why it's so easy to copy them, but not as simple as just plugging them in the web browser and then downloading them.
Of course.
That doesn't work like that. Yes. So this is VHD files within a container within a storage account.
Okay.
And then when you create a virtual machine, it just goes to the storage account that you indicated, and then in the VHD folder. So that's
okay.
How that works.
Okay, it's not mysterious. There's actually a structure, and these files exist, and they're...
And it is normal VHD
files.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Although I skipped two words in this description,
which
because
are?
I did not use the word disk, and I did not use the word image. So position those carefully as well. What does that mean? Because if you go to virtual machines, mm-hmm. you have a list of images.
Okay.
That is the images that I created myself. That is empty still, because I still haven't done that part,
okay.
capturing an image. And you see disks. And here I have a list of disks.
What are those? Yeah.
It's important to see the difference between a disk and a VHD. In normal conversation, if we were not doing this presentation and we would just run into each other in the hallway,
talking about Azure
all the time.
Because we
so
do,
that's
right?
Without saying.
Yeah.
Then we would probably use the word disk and VHD as meaning the same thing.
Okay.
But they have very different meaning. A VHD file, we know what it is.
Right.
That is what
it's
you
a blob.
See. A blob. Very
yeah.
good. That's what you see here at the end. And that is really the physical file
okay.
on the storage. What a disk is not more and not less than just a lock, L-O-C-K, lock.
What is...
On the VHD file.
Okay.
And an indication of what the caching is on that.
Weird.
So it's
okay.
actually two steps. A virtual machine has disks,
okay.
and a disk point to a VHD file. So you would normally not load a VHD file directly in a virtual machine. You would first need to create a disk, and then the disk is loaded. Those terms are so similar that you can easily say it incorrectly, but it's good to see that there's this level in between.
A process that happens between the two, or that
yes.
it has to go through the disk to get to the VHD, kind of?
Indeed.
Is that
indeed.
Okay?
That's how it goes.
Oh, okay, good. I just guessed, yeah.
So if I go to a virtual machine, let's say this web server virtual machine, doesn't matter which one I do, let's take this one, then you see on the dashboard, you see here your disk, remember what it means now.
Mm-hmm.
Also notice it doesn't have VHD at the end. You see that?
No, it doesn't.
It's just a name, totally made up name.
Okay.
And probably means something like 2014, January 30th. It probably
and you
means,
never, you
it
never
means
needed
something.
To be. And you never needed to be named
let's
pretty
call it
or anything, right?
Yeah,
it doesn't
exactly.
have like a, okay.
But
it
this is a disk, and this is the, you see here at the beginning, it's,
yeah, I see
you
that.
Don't see it very well, but this is
the VHD
file
that,
that goes with it.
Okay.
Yes, exactly. So that is the disk. And that is the VHD file.
Do you ever associate two disks with a VHD? Is it just one to one, or how does that work?
No, you never. No. That's a good question. A disk always has a single VHD file. It's
okay.
really a lock. I mean, it's almost like a developer word. That's not what I mean, but it's reserved.
It's
and,
reserved.
And you cannot do anything
okay,
with
so
it.
It's a.
So if I would try to delete the VHD file now,
okay.
it says not possible because
the disk is there.
A disk there.
So you have to
yes.
delete. The disk?
Delete the disk, and then you can delete the VHD file. So it's a protection mechanism as well.
So then here's my weird question. Then does that mean you've deleted the virtual machine?
Well, let's do it in order.
Okay.
You have a virtual machine.
Mm-hmm.
A disk is connected to the virtual machine.
Okay.
And a disk points to a VHD. So if you delete a disk while it's connected to a virtual machine, mm-hmm. it says no can do because
you've already got
it's used by a virtual machine.
I see.
So you have to start from the top. Remove the disk from the virtual machine or delete the virtual machine.
Okay.
And then delete the disk and then delete the VHD file.
Which is the storage.
Yes.
Okay.
And that is finally clearing up the storage then, right?
All right.
So
yeah.
If this sounds complicated, then I'll show you how it can be done easily. But
okay.
for conceptually, it's
but conceptually,
important
no, I wanted to
yeah.
know like who talked to who first and how it
yes,
works.
Yes, exactly.
Right, okay.
So let's add a disk, notice I'm using the correct term,
you are,
to
yeah.
a virtual machine.
I hope
and
you
that's
are, yeah.
the next to shutdown. Don't press there.
Don't press that,
disk.
Yeah.
That's attach. So I click attach, and I can attach a disk or attach an empty disk.
What is
empty disk
that?
Is a little bit cheating. Empty disk is a disk pointing to
no VHD?
To an empty VHD file. A newly created VHD file.
Why do I want to do that?
Well, attached disk means I'm attaching an existing disk. So okay. This is the list of existing disks that okay. I can attach.
Oh, and those disks so would be associated with storage?
Those disks would be pointing to a VHD file.
Okay.
So let me do the demo one
I'm
step.
I'm probably jumping ahead. So
yeah, jumping
sorry.
Ahead. Let me do it one step at a time. If I go to disks, here's the disks. And if I now create a new disk, I'm creating a disk, right? I click on
okay.
create. So remember, I'm creating a disk pointing to a VHD file.
Okay.
So hopefully, I have a VHD file available. Let's call it a disk number 44. Remember, disk 44, right?
Okay.
So now I'm going to the VHD file. You remember, this is the storage account.
Oh, yeah, this is the one level.
Exactly.
Well, okay.
So this is the level underneath there. I just mm-hmm. created Thursday, but there's nothing in Thursday.
Okay.
And here's the list of VHDs. And this is the list of existing VHDs. I think I created a small one in MVA this morning. Let's take this one. Is it here? Yeah, let's do small disk.
Okay.
Just because it's small.
Again, that's, yeah. you know, creative.
So now I have a disk created pointing to something called small disk.
Okay.
Right? So this is just going to be a data disk. Okay? Okay, now I'm creating a disk.
A disk.
So that means that here in the list will be an additional one, probably an alphabet at the top there.
And that just
disk
merely
44.
Points to a VHD that you already VHDs. Have out there.
Yes.
Okay.
VHDs here at the end.
Okay.
Notice that this disk 44 is not attached to any virtual machine.
No, it's just
so some
there.
Of them are.
Yeah.
This one is no surprise, web server.
Right, you created
but
those, right.
some of them are. So those are just disks that I created earlier and they still exist and the VHD file still exists and I can delete them but they
okay.
just are still there. This is disk 44. If I now go to the virtual machine,
mm-hmm.
I can go to select this one, for example. Look at the virtual machine. Currently has one disk. And I can attach the disk. And I attach the new disk 44 that I created. It should be in this list. Is it? Oh.
Not yet.
I made one... one mistake. This is I created in it.
What do we have to be careful of to know?
I think I created. Did I create it in the wrong?
Oh, in the wrong.
Wrong location.
Oh, maybe I don't know.
Okay, let's not make it too complicated and just add any of the other disks that we have
okay,
here.
Okay, yeah,
so just
sure.
continue with. Let's add this one.
You have to obviously so. Have an available disk to.
yeah, it's available one. So I'm adding this one. Okay. And now this new data disk will be added to the list of disks here. I now have one disk, and now I'm adding just a second disk to the virtual machine. How will the
okay.
virtual machine handle that? Well, easy. It will just
so the virtual machine
itself.
Already existed?
Yes, the virtual machine already existed.
Okay.
And it will now just update this by adding a virtual machine, by adding a disk. This
did
is
it not have a disk before?
It did have an OS disk already.
Okay.
I'm now adding an additional... data disk.
Oh, like a D drive.
A D drive, E drive.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
And what I actually want to do is go into the virtual machine and look at the disk because then we can
right,
see.
Right, you can see that
using
it's
the same
doing
word,
it.
Then we can see it there.
Okay.
This is actually a SCSI disk that's being added to the virtual machine.
Okay.
And in Hyper-V terms, that means that the virtual machine does not have to restart for that. So it will just add it. Look, it's running already.
Is this sort of like so you have a Papa thumb drive or something on
yeah,
your computer?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, there it is. Okay. So
yeah,
same
yeah.
kind of concept
indeed,
anyway.
Indeed.
For
so the virtual machine just continued running.
Okay.
Which one is it? This is, I think I did WebVM1. I have WebVM1 open here already.
Okay.
It continued to be open. And if I now look at my disks, I have, I should have started by going here and not having it here, right?
Yeah.
CD and an F disk. And the F disk is the one I just added by doing that.
Can you remove this?
Yeah, let's do the demo a
oh,
little more trustworthy,
sending.
Right? By just detaching the disk.
Oh, it's just
so
as easy as detaching it, and then
yeah,
you could just add another disk. So
exactly, I'm just detaching it.
Oh wow, okay.
So again, the virtual machine just stays running, But if everything is correct, then data disk F should go away here.
So if I don't want to add a disk, I already have a disk for my VM. It's the OS disk, and I can do whatever I do normally on an OS disk. And then I need more space or more something, so I add another disk to it.
Yes, yes, indeed.
Okay.
And notice F is gone
here. I can't see it yet.
F is not there.
Oh, right.
And if you look at the list of disks here in the virtual machine, this is the OS disk. Sorry, this is the US disk.
Okay.
And the data disk is almost gone. Not yet. It will be when it updates to the screen.
Okay.
It's already gone from the virtual machine. It will delete it.
Oh, that's pretty.
Now it's gone.
Okay, that's fast. That's really fast.
Yeah, and the virtual machine just stays running. That's just how
really
SCSI
cool.
disks work with Hyper-V.
Very nice.
So I have one disk in the virtual machine. Switch to the virtual machine, and you see two disks.
As you started with,
this is the C drive, this is the D drive. One suggestion could be, well, that's easy in Windows. That's just a single VHD file with two partitions, right? That's a good suggestion.
Is that how it?
You're telling me it's anymore, right?
No, I'm not.
No, because
I just jump right in, and it's like, no, you're wrong. So yeah.
Yeah, well, that's probably a safe answer all the time.
But probably indeed, in Hyper-V for me it is. Yeah.
What happens is for any of the virtual machines that you create, mm-hmm. it has an OS disk. That's a C drive.
Okay.
And then it has a local on the blade, a local D drive, and that's just a temporary disk.
Oh, so I can't do anything with that disk? It's just like there?
Well, that's pretty much the definition of being able to do something with
it.
It's there.
It's there, but okay.
But it's on the blade. So if the virtual machine moves to somewhere else,
then I lose it. So I shouldn't put stuff I want to keep on
that
ever. It just, okay.
This is definitely temporary storage. And notice, by the way, here that it's indeed two disks.
Right.
Disk C is the VHD file that we loaded. And that is the OS.
Right.
And disk D is a local disk. It is
That's
local.
That's really good to know. Okay.
And it's temporary, so you should not put anything there that you don't want to lose when the machine moves and restarts.
Okay, so
A very good example of something that you don't mind losing if you restart the machine is, of course, let me show you.
Thinking, what would I put out there? Family photos. No, I don't know what I'd put out there, but what do I not care about?
Well, you probably don't care about the page file moving with the virtual machine. So
true.
The
it's
page file
gonna regenerate
is on here.
Its own.
Yes,
okay.
Indeed. And frankly, you can use it for anything else that is just temporary storage, right? Because the local disk on the blade only goes away
when
the virtual
happens.
Machine is really moved to somewhere else.
Okay.
So
if I want to see if my virtual machine's moved, I could like put a little file out there, and then I could just check on it every once in a while. And go, it's gone.
That's a very good suggestion.
Is that terrible?
I'll do it right now.
Will you?
I call it. How do they call that?
I don't know.
Kojo was here or something like that?
I don't know.
I forgot what it is.
Just call it file. Just file.
File was here.
I am not a blog.
Kilroy.
Yeah, Kilroy. That's it.
Kilroy was here.
Exactly.
Well,
now it's called file.
Yeah, so this file is here, happy. And if I now do something that will move the virtual machine, this file will go away. That's a very nice suggestion indeed.
I was just thinking that would be cool.
No, that's good. Yeah, that would work that way. So this is a good way of seeing that you can add data disks to an existing virtual machine very easily. You attach and then you detach data disks to there.
So in my mind, some guy's running around with a little, thumb drive. No, but he's
and
not. I know he's not.
Plugging
but
it in.
It's SCSI, but yeah.
That guy is called SCSI. And he does
his name's SCSI.
He just goes by a single name. So that's the disks being added. Notice, by the way, that the OS disk has write caching enabled.
Why?
Well, any caching is for performance.
Okay.
So read caching is good because then you can read
really fast.
Fast. Write caching is good because then you have the impression that you can write really fast. You write it, and the OS gets the message. Yeah, sure, it's written already, but then in the background it's still being committed to the data store. So for the OS, that's perfectly fine. But you can imagine that you have applications that do not dare to use write caching.
Right. Some things have to just be there. It just,
and you want to make sure that it's written to disk.
Yeah, right away. Yeah,
yes.
Boom. Yeah.
The prime example of that is Active Directory.
You can't deal with the caching thing would not be good.
Correct. The Active Directory, the what is it called, NTDSDIT, or the file of the Active Directory database. If you run a domain controller inside a virtual machine, then you don't want that on the C drive because of the caching.
That would be,
you would add a separate data disk with caching disabled. That's a good example why you would add another data disk.
That absolutely makes sense. Okay.
Let's go back to the confusing aspect of virtual machine connected to a disk, connected to a VHD file.
Thank you, yes.
So luckily the portal, sorry, I'm going to the wrong location. The portal helps you with this, because if I have a particular virtual machine, let's say this virtual machine.
Okay.
I'm sure it has a disk, because that's how it started this life.
Right, because you just created it and it would.
Exactly.
Okay.
If I now delete this disk, I'm going ahead of myself. If I delete this virtual machine, then I delete the virtual machine, but I also immediately have the option of keeping
That's
the attached disk
means.
Or deleting the attached disk.
That I wonder what that meant, because I played around with the VMs a little bit, not knowing what I was doing. Like, I don't even know what that part is.
Correct, and it also explains why I have a bunch of disks. Disks, remember?
Yeah,
and disks that are not attached to anything except pointing to a VHD, because then I just deleted the virtual machine but did not delete the disk.
And does that mean that later, if I want to, I can create another virtual machine, point then to that already existing disk which is according to the VHD?
And
is there a reason I would do that? Why would I do that?
Yes, there could be a reason to do that. I wouldn't say just like a USB drive, but if you indeed have something that you want to copy, let's say you have something large that you want to copy from the virtual machine, you can indeed just temporarily add, connect,
a disk,
copy
put the
to
stuff
the disk,
in, and then reattach
and then,
it.
And reattach it, and then have the disk to do
really
something.
Cool. Okay.
Or even then download that disk, download the VHD file through another means, just to your Hyper-V.
You could get pretty creative with this stuff.
Yeah, exactly. But it's important to see that the disks are there.
So SCSI's got to just run around and plug it into another.
Poor SCSI.
Yeah, he's very
and
busy.
And notice if I select a particular disk, I can delete the disk as well. And now you, of course, know what the next level
is. Right, yeah.
Because now, again, I can decide to delete the underlying VHD as well or retain the VHD.
Okay.
So they certainly made it easier to, let's say, if you want to get rid of it, then you
could.
Can do that and just delete it at once. Just to answer a question in case it comes up, if I delete the virtual machine and say delete the attached disks.
Yeah, what am I deleting there?
Disk and VHD.
Both?
So I think it might warn me actually. This option will delete the virtual machine, are you sure? The attached disk, which is only the pointer, and the VHD files will be deleted.
So if you had created something particular on your virtual machine, and then you deleted the virtual machine but kept the VHD, could you then create another virtual machine and connect it back to the disk and the VHD, and it would be the same kind of?
It would exactly be the same, because the VHD file would not have changed, so you have kept that.
But the VM would change itself because it have a different IP and
different
identity,
OS,
because it loses all of its identity, basically.
It will be a data disk, right? Or is it an OS disk?
No, what if it's an OS disk? Like, can you do that?
Oh, for an OS disk, you can do that as well.
Okay.
Yeah, indeed. And in fact, this is very close to how creating an image works, right?
Because so we're kind of getting close to the
exactly.
Whole, okay.
You didn't do the sys prep, but otherwise you would just have reinvented creating images yourself. But notice then you have to be careful if I click on delete the virtual machine to keep the attached disk, of course,
if
right?
You
because otherwise
keep them. Right.
I'd throw it away if I would do that. Okay, let's switch back to the presentation and make sure that we covered everything in the demo that we wanted to talk about. I'll go full screen to the presentation again. So we talked about the disk and that which, well, I call it a lock, L-O-C-K, that's my word.
Okay,
That's not how it's described. And actions you should recognize is that you can create a disk that points to an existing VHD file. That's one thing you can do. You can then use a disk and assign to a particular, or connect, what is, no, attach, right? I'm using the wrong word. Attach it to a virtual machine. And if you create a new virtual machine, you also have the option of using one of images or even using an existing disk for that. So that is the Hyper-V scenario where you would have an existing virtual machine in Hyper-V, take the VHD file, load it as a disk, and then create a virtual machine based on that disk. So that's actually something that would do there. Then an image. What about an image? What can we say about that? Do we still have time for that? I'm saying that specifically because the meal is coming up, so that's why this break is especially important for us.
Yeah.
But we still have 10 minutes, so let's look at how to create an image. And remember, an image is a sys-prepped VHD file.
Okay.
So, and that means that there are two ways you can have an OS disk for a virtual machine. Off based on a disk, which is not sys-prepped, off based on the image, and then it is sys-prepped. Really straightforward to make it yourself. Let me go back to the demonstration here. Of course, we already saw clearly that there is already a gallery of existing, many existing images that already Azure provided. If I now want to create my own image, how would I do that? Well, it consists of basically three steps. I'm canceling this one. I'll take an existing virtual machine that I'm very happy with.
Okay.
For example, this one. Sorry, I misclicked. This one. And then I would configure it perfectly how... Step one, configure it perfectly how I want it.
Okay.
Step two, I would then run sysprep. And step three, I would then click on the capture button. If you look here at the bottom, there's the capture button. And capture means create an image. So that's how I can do that.
So if I wanted to run multiple web servers running on virtual machines, this might be a really nice way to do something?
To create your own image.
Okay.
You would install IIS, maybe other applications installed there, or maybe ASP.NET and all kinds of updates.
Okay.
And then perfect as you want it. Except maybe the computer name and the IP address.
So if I do this, can I do this based on one of the pretty operating system or with the colorful one that you chose? Like if I say, okay, I'll create a virtual machine using the colorful operating system.
Yes, yes.
And then I can, I love that one, and I can go ahead and then basically make an image of it.
Make your own Windows 2012 version. Well, version is the wrong word, but image of...
Image with, based with your, on that. The,
yeah,
okay.
With your configuration and IIS installed or things like that.
Oh, okay.
So if I connect to this particular virtual machine, I haven't connected to it, let's connect to another one, so that's easier. If I connect here, then after I did all the installation, everything is perfect, then the next step I have to do is go to C, Windows, System 32, and then run sysprep. I believe it's here, do I go sysprep? And there's this sysprep application.
Oh, so you run it within the virtual machine itself?
Within the, if I'm happy with everything else,
okay.
And remember the IP address and the computer name will go away, but everything else will stay. So then I run sysprep, and I actually have to shut down the virtual machine, and I have to click on generalize. Generalize means remove make it without those identifying features like the computer name.
Okay.
I'm not doing it on this machine, but then the end result is, I shouldn't do reboot, but I should do quit or shut down. The end result is that the virtual machine is then shut down, stopped.
Okay. Not stopped deallocated, just stopped.
Stopped.
Okay.
Because I'm initiating the shutdown from within the virtual machine.
Okay.
Right? It's not deallocated.
Good.
If I were to start up the virtual machine, at that point, it would go to the mini setup. Right?
How you do on your initial first...
It would maybe ask, what is your time zone and things like that.
Yeah, okay. So it's not tragic, it's just not... You have to just go back through the whole thing.
Yes, indeed. So However, if I do that, notice that unlike Hyper-V, when you start a virtual machine with Hyper-V, you see it booting up, right?
Yeah.
Here, you don't see that. So you should actually not do that.
Okay.
Because you're connecting with an RDP connection to a running virtual machine.
Okay,
but during
yeah.
the mini setup, RDP is not running yet. So that's actually not something you should do. I'm just
that
saying
makes
it
sense.
To explain
right.
how
that's,
sysprep
that's
works.
That's logical, yeah.
What can you do with a sysprep virtual machine? Let's assume that this one is a sysprep virtual machine.
Okay.
Well, all you basically can do, well, besides delete,
yeah.
You can capture it. So if I click capture, then it will make a new image, right?
Right.
And I give the image a name. So let's say this is the colorful windows.
Yes.
It probably cannot have spaces. Let's say colors. And also IIS, can it have a minus
yeah.
sign?
Yeah. Oh, it did.
So maybe this is the image name that I create. And
oh, you have to acknowledge that you've run sysprep on the machine. That's very good because, you know, you might forget.
Or cheat.
Like, or cheat, yeah.
Well, you can still cheat. But indeed, if you now press this, it says, hey, you must you must acknowledge that you have run sysprep.
I like that. Okay.
I actually have not run sysprep on that machine. So,
you're
this
lying
will,
to Windows Azure.
This
oh,
will now
my gosh.
Fail.
Oh, it will fail?
Yeah, because what will now happen, it is now...
It knows you lied.
Ugh. No, it doesn't know I'm lying. It trusts me.
Oh, it trusts
so now
you,
it
okay.
creates an image. But since I didn't run sysprep, it doesn't start with the mini setup when I use the image.
I see.
The ISO file that's connected with the like the name is not loaded correctly. So this is actually not how you should do it. You should do it on a sysprep.
Sysprep is not that difficult. Obviously, you just showed us how it works. Click down.
Yeah, yeah,
and
exactly.
So
just
shut it
generalize
down.
And shut down, and then you wait till it
okay.
stop, and then.
So
you
there's
do
no
it.
Reason not to run sysprep.
Correct.
Really.
Correct. So let's recap what we've done now.
Okay.
Here's the list of virtual machines. Notice that the virtual machine that I just chose is gone because now it shows up as an image.
Right.
I think the original name was ISVM2. That doesn't exist anymore, right? You cannot do anything with it. We cannot
okay.
start it. So it's actually removed from the list.
Oh, it's
of
not even listed in the list of virtual machines. It's gone.
It's removed from the list here.
Okay.
I have two of them stopped. Now I only have one of them stopped.
I see.
But it is listed as
an
new
image.
And that's available. And it actually can tell me which VHD file is connected to it. And equally important, if I go to the wizard,
mm-hmm.
create a new virtual machine from the gallery, I can select from all the existing Azure provided images, and ta-da, I can select from my
okay,
own
there are
with
the,
a not so colorful icon, but at least this is one that then would work.
And
well,
I can then use that to create multiple virtual machines just as I could use the colorful
yes.
choice. Okay.
So this is actually very powerful because then you could indeed have, let's say, web servers that are very nice copies of each other or other configurations that you can do.
Okay.
Most applications, maybe Active Directory is
and you're just doing that all up there, and that's all in Azure. You're not like uploading anything new. It's there already.
So
like,
far, we have not uploaded anything.
Wow.
This virtual machine started actually as an image that Azure provided.
Okay.
And now we made it our own image, and now we can
and
use
I've not,
that.
You're not uploaded anything. I mean, like if you had to change the applications or something on the VM.
Yeah,
download
the applications or something like
that.
Yeah, then we could have done that.
Right.
Indeed. Okay, so this is how you capture and create an image.
Very cool.
I think we're at the end of this session. So let's quickly wrap up. Those were the steps that we actually did. I still have it on the slide here, but this is the last slide from this session. We saw disks, we saw images, we saw VHD files, and the most important conclusion is that those three are three different concepts that are important to see all three of them. And now we will take a longer than 10 minutes break because we have a meal break now.
Yes.
And we will continue about an hour. Okay. That's good. And then we will continue with the next session, which will be about networking, I think.
It will be about
networking.
Yes. Yeah.
But we'll take a meal first. So thank you very much.
Thank you.